Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you.
Mike, should people in the U.S. still have confidence in the banking system, or are some of the regional banks still pretty shaky?
Well, it depends on what you're doing with them. If you've got money in the banks, I wouldn't worry at all. But if you're owning the stocks, I would worry a lot. And the ironic thing is, a lot of the earnings for local and regional banks are actually growing, and they're increasing their dividend despite the headlines and high-profile bank failures that we have seen in the past couple months. They're likely to continue. But most banks, as far as their earnings go, sound like everything is fine. And the Federal Reserve in March in the Treasury created this special lending program that's supposed to last a year, where if any bank needs extra money to match people withdrawals, this program's available to them where they can get loans from the government at no interest to help themselves stay afloat if necessary. And people have insurance, of course, at the bank. So in that regard, I don't really believe people have anything at all to worry about. But it's what the stocks do that's really important, not just for people owning the bank, but people owning the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ. Now, the IHT ETF tracks regional banks, and it was at $54 in February. Today it's at $30. That's a crash. And much of the decline took place in March, in a week. And now it's making, they tried to hold up, and now it's making another leg down this month. But the bank stocks have a problem with them. And I went and looked at the 1970s, and banks were the worst performing sector during that decade. And so far year to date, they're the worst performing sector. And of course, they were also the worst performing sector in the last big bear market we had in 2007 to 2009. Now, what I think is important to understand about the 70s and today is, in the 70s, the same thing was happening. The earnings were growing for banks. The dividends were going up. And the reason why is because when rates went higher, they could make more revenue, from the loans they put out. And that accrued to higher dividends, higher earnings. Sounds good. So why do they do so bad back then and so far this year? Well, the answer is the Treasury bonds make up the bulk of the bank balance sheet. That, and they fell in value in the 70s because of inflation and higher rates. When you have higher rates, the price of bonds go down, and inflation drives rates higher. The exact same thing that's been taking place over the past year and a half and caused the banks to crash in March. That's the critical cause of it. Well, banks crashed in 1973 and 74. So I think we're really in the same scenario, and I'm expecting these bank stocks to continue to go down for another year, maybe 2 years, as they've been doing, because I think we're not solving inflation today. It's a secular cycle. It's going to take years to play out. I mean, we may have a pause in the rate of inflation. The number of the CPI was annualized 4.9. That's nice. Maybe it'll go down to 4 or 3. But I think, you know, the next time that it'll happen that the Fed lowers rates in response to a correction in the market or a recession, that'll set the stage for even bigger inflation and, you know, down the road. And that means lower bond prices again, another way down, and another smack down for the banks. It's an ugly process, similar to the 70s. Now, when it comes to the stock market, right now, the S&P looks okay. The NASDAQ looks okay. The fact is, Apple and Microsoft have been going up on their earnings, and they've been outperforming everything, and they heavily weight the S&P 500 so much that those stocks alone are helping it to go up, much like we saw FANG in the years past. You know, Apple's one of the biggest market cap companies in the world. So that's helping the averages appear good, even though the banking sector has been just falling and falling. Well, if you go look at 2007, in the stock market back then, the banks started to go into this same sort of spiral as they're in now, the stock that is, in the first quarter of that year, and the market did okay. The S&P and NASDAQ didn't really roll over until October, November. So for several months, the market was, the averages were okay, even though the banks were going, stocks were going down, 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 down. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing a replay of when it comes to, you know, what the markets are doing. And at some point, I expect the S&P and the NASDAQ, this rally in them, will come to an end, and then we'll have another big down cycle like we had last year. The problem is I can't predict if that end of the rally is next week, next month, in July when they have the next round of earnings, possibly, or it's going to be in the fall. I don't really have a way to predict that. What all this tells me, though, is it's best not to be making big bets on these stocks, and to still remain very cautious and, you know, and people, you know, it's just best to be cautious, diversify a defensive type of positioning in these markets.
Are you surprised that the price of gold hasn't gone higher?
Well, not necessarily. You know, gold did make a new high, all-time high, just last week. And last year, it got hit pretty hard, along with silver, along with everything, when the Fed started to raise rates by 75 basis points. You know, the gold and silver did good until that happened around May, June, July, and then, you know, dumped into October. But the drop in gold and silver really ended when the Fed went from 35-point hikes to 50. Then they bottomed and been doing well. But ever since New Year's last year, gold and silver have been outperforming the stock market. Really, if you go to 2017, gold has been more stable than S&P 500. When S&P 500 has had dips, gold has fallen less and then come back stronger. So I really think, in my view, gold is a necessity to have in a portfolio. Yeah, I mean, just for that reason, I think it's going to do better than the stock market making money. But that setback, to answer your question, the setback last year in gold and silver knocked it down, you know, below 1800. So we had to recover all that, to get it above 2,000. And now we're just kind of floating around that 2,000 level after hitting a high. We just had the last rate hike from the Fed. So I think the stage is set for gold to, you know, turn up, make another big leg up before the end of this year. But at the moment, I would argue that what's happening with it and silver is that they've had a big run since October, both those metals, and they hadn't really had a significant pullback. So I think now they're really going to work off those gains and consolidate them before they can, you know, turn up and have another nice run. And it might be that night, that another breakout run that really is what gets the individual investor and small trader interested in what they're doing. Because in the United States, I got to tell you, people are still mesmerized by big cap tech. I look at the financial headlines every morning, and now it's all AI hype. You know, buy Google for AI. I mean, Apple's going to do AI, Microsoft AI, and people are piling into that concept. But they did the same thing in Metaverse 2 years ago, and now, you know, everyone knows that Metaverse is a complete and total failure. It was nothing but a hype job. And I know, you know, so these concepts are what fascinate people, but I think they'll eventually get fascinated by the metals.
Well, when it comes to AI, Rick Ackerman pointed out they can't even do autocorrect correctly. Would you really want AI to be driving your car or running your business?
No. I mean, the co-founder of Apple, Steve Wozniak, last week, he was giving a presentation, and he said, if you want to see how dangerous AI is, just see how AI-controlled, robot-controlled Teslas do. How many people have died in them? This is kind of crazy.
Well, and we all remember the old joke about a guy gets on an airplane and it says, welcome aboard, we're the first fully automated aircraft. Nothing can go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong. We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, what's happening with Dr. Copper?
Well, you know, copper's taking a little bit of a pullback. The copper companies, and I own several of them, they've had a great run since the fall. In fact, they've gone up more than the gold and silver mining stock. But they're taking a hit this week, and copper's taking a dip. And I think what's happening is copper is probably pricing in a slowdown in the global economy to come. So I think that's really what's happening there. I wouldn't expect the dip to last that much longer, but it is happening.
Now, of course, governments in several countries want us to all switch to electric cars. Where are we going to get the copper for those cars? Because an EV uses 277% more copper than a regular vehicle. 83 kilograms, 183 pounds of copper in one of those.
I don't know. It's the dream that they've been telling us that electric vehicles are going to solve global warming. Everyone's going to be driving in them, and it's just going to fix everything and make it so you don't have to buy gas anymore and oil. But the problem is what you just said, and it's going to drive up the cost of the cars. Much less, you know, how much true energy does it take to construct these things when you factor in the mining and all that stuff for these batteries. So I don't know. It's sort of a dream thing, and I don't know if it's really going to be as cost effective in the long run as the people say it's going to be. So it's kind of interesting to see.
Well, the same people who want you to get into electric cars are also against the development of new mines or mining all those mineral nodules on the bottom of the or on the ocean floor.
Yeah, it is the same people, and I just don't think they have a real grasp of reality and when it comes to these things, and they are looking for some simple solution to fix the world's problems or a new invention, a new gizmo. And I got to say, you know, I've seen many new gizmos in my lifetime. Most of them fail. The metaverse, for instance, was a failure. And at some point, as you get older, you see these things. And like, for instance, I saw, I don't remember the name of the company, but there's some company that's planning on building a rocket that it looks like a giant bubble that'll carry up into not outer space, but like the very top of the atmosphere. And it's supposed to be like a restaurant, and you can float around in this thing, and then it'll, you know, let you come down. Well, I look at that, and I think, well, that's the sort of thing that people were excited about before I was born when it came to the Hindenburg, and it first in play. So I would never get on something like that. And then I get to the point where I think maybe it's time to stop inventing all these new gizmos and just be happy with what we got.
Well, we can always improve the efficiency of things here on Earth. For example, the shortage of water in California, if you just covered all those canals and stopped irrigating during the daytime when the sun evaporates 80% of the water, all of a sudden your water shortage is solved.
Yeah. It's like the gold and silver, you know. They've always, you know, in the Bible, silver is the first currency ever mentioned or form of money ever mentioned. And, you know, crypto's not going to replace it either. So that was the fad that has excited people for the past couple of years, too. But, I spent a lot of time talking with you about these bank stocks. In the end, one reason I'm really watching a close eye on them is that I think we're in a cycle in these markets that's going to last a couple of years. And when it ends, I think these bank stocks will actually be great buys. So you know, they're not all going under or going to disappear. It's just the stocks are going to act real poorly.
Crude, what's your outlook there?
Well, I think it's sort of similar to copper, in the sense that crude has been weak the past couple months, really pretty much since New Year's. And I think it's pricing in a slowdown in the global economy. And sure, we'll probably get a little bit of a bump here into July. And seasonally, oil goes up into July, and then you get a correction into the fall. So I kind of think, you know, of course it hasn't gone up in it, you know, so far this year, but regardless, I wouldn't be shocked if that's the trend that kind of plays out, a little bit of a bump up and then a, you know, a little weakness into the end of the year, but we've probably seen the bulk of the weakness in the actual price of oil. But I would be looking for a bottom in it in the fourth quarter this year, first quarter next year, and probably a great buying opportunity in the energy stocks. Doesn't mean they necessarily have to go down a whole lot. They could just consolidate pretty much because there is still good value in them with the dividends that they pay.
And we always like to take a look at the Robin Hooders. Do they even exist anymore?
Well, they're getting to be smaller and smaller, and to boost their trading revenues and try to keep the revenue growing despite the fact that the pool of traders is shrinking. Just this week, Robinhood announced earnings, and during it, they made the announcement that they were going to create on their app 24-hour trading and exchange-traded funds and individual stocks. So I guess the way to increase the earnings now is to, you know, extend trading hours so people can do trades, you know, throughout the day. You know, if you can get the customers to trade from 9 to 4, well, if we can get them to just trade 24 hours, some of them might do one or two extra ones, and they can keep the revenue growing that way.
Mm. Mike, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, as we're speaking, you know, this week we are getting a dip in gold and silver, so I would probably suggest that that might be the buy now. You know, if you're looking for a short-term thing to do or look at, you know, I would say look at that, look at them for an entry point.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.